Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 197 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, he's the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse Blue Gatorade Wilson.
Blue Gatorade. Naturally, we called it Gatorade. That's from a Gatorade commercial.
Really?
Yeah, because it was developed at the University
right,
of Florida.
Yeah.
And they had like this old guy, and he said, naturally, we called it Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Naturally. Why are you drinking Blue Gatorade, sir?
I'm literally sick and tired.
Cool.
Yeah. You know the World War II footage of all the planes?
Mm-hmm.
Like the bombers mm-hmm. over Dresden just dropping like huge payloads of bombs over and over and over?
Yep.
That's been me all day.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Don't need to know which end.
I am.
Don't need to know which end.
Rear hatch. Open the rear hatch for that payload.
Didn't need to know that.
And I've dehydrated my entire body, and I'm literally a prune now.
Excellent.
Like a fruit.
Yeah,
a prune.
I've been getting into drinking water again. last weekend, I played a softball game. We played three softball games. We played softball for 4 hours straight.
Wow.
And I drank nothing but beer during it. And
yeah.
It's not the only thing. Somebody made like a little, nice little cooler with like Arnold Palmer's in it. So I was like, I'll do this. So I like grab a cup, fill it up to the top with this Arnold Palmer, drink it. I'm about halfway through. And then I go, wait a second, is there vodka in this? And they're like, yeah.
Who puts vodka in an Arnold Palmer?
Apparently it was iced tea, vodka, and lemonade.
And lemonade. Well, you got like the booze version of the pot brownie that you didn't know you were eating.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I did get home, and I immediately cramped up. My hand cramped. And then while I was dealing with that, my hip cramped at the same time.
Wow, you're getting a little old there.
Becoming an oldie moldie, but, other than that, pretty good weekend.
Sweet.
When's the Days of Future Past, the X-Men movie?
I've been hearing good things.
I enjoyed it, man. I think it might be my favorite movie of the summer so far.
Cool.
And I'm not like a huge X-Men dude, but this is easily my favorite X-Men movie.
Was Frasier in it?
He has a cameo, spoiler alert. Which is a major spoiler because he dies.
Spoiled.
Yeah. You know, and I think he dies in X3.
I don't remember.
Spoiler alert on X3, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, well, what are you drinking? Oh, you're drinking Blue Gatorade. I am drinking, to commemorate this wonderful weather that we are experiencing here in Western Washington, I am drinking Dos Equis Cerveza.
Ooh!
My favorite cerveza, Dos Equis Amber, brought to you from the yellow hills of Guadalajara. I don't know where it's from, but it's delicious. And you gotta drink it with lime. I don't know what it is, man, but like I crave cerveza when it gets hot outside. I just love that skunky beer flavor.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Well, do you know how to achieve a skunky beer flavor?
Well, it's not like desired.
Mm-hmm.
It's not flavor. It's what happens when there's too much light exposure to your beer and the hop essential oils break down, and one of the one of the molecules it breaks down to is literally the same molecule that skunks produce for their stink attack.
But I feel
like skunky beers too.
I feel like a
skunk.
Yeah, I feel like a good cerveza's got to have a little skunk in it.
A little skunk factor. Yeah, you know, it came all the way from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Coronas and Pacificos are in glass bottles, so that ain't soaking up any part of the light spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, it sits around in the back of your convenience store for 3.5 months, and then you drink it. Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. That's beer. That's the journey of beer, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to listener feedback this week. We got a couple phone calls. Very, very excited about. You can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Here's our first one. Comes to us from a 575 area code. Here it is.
This message is for Evelyn. This is Dave at About Frames, and we have a frame job ready for you. We'll be open today till 2. Normal hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5:30. Thanks.
Uh-oh.
Evelyn, man. See,
we got the... It's a mob.
Well, the thing about this is that Evelyn needs to just give them her direct phone number because she's obviously a listener. She wants to know about it on her time. So she's going to listen to the podcast, wait for her frame to be ready. So, Evelyn, your frame is ready at frame. If he's at a frame job?
Yeah, no, that's why I think this is gangster code.
I think you're totally right. You're totally
it's
right.
The
this is
a frame job.
The frame job is
at
ready.
2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Evelyn.
Evelyn. Frame job.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, the frame job is ready, Evelyn. Let us know how that turns out for you. We also got another phone call. This one comes to us from Virginia.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. It's Michael McBride from Virginia here again. Me and my wife just got a new apartment, and I was just thinking we were having, like, an argument over our spare bedroom. She was trying to say it's going to be her craft room. I've been talking about, no, it's going to be my man cave and all that craziness. Well, I was just wondering, what would y'all's ideal man cave consist of? All right, guys. Have a good day. Stay arrogant. Get off my back.
Oh, this is such a good question. It could almost be its own topic.
Mm.
But I would definitely want a gaming table of my own design.
Yeah, I would need the gaming table, too.
Felt top with a projector on the very top of the thing so that it shines up, so you can project things onto it.
Onto the felt?
Yeah. You just get, like, white felt.
Oh, I immediately thought green.
Cream felt.
Do they make cream felt?
Oh, they make felt in every color, dude.
I mean, that's one of my favorite mixed drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Cream felt. I used to play D&D when I was a young lad on a big gaming table, and it was like glass top, and then it had like hexagonal paper underneath it, and you could draw on it with like a dry erase pen or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was pretty slick.
That is super slick. I mean, you're probably going to want interchangeable tops on your table. Which is pretty common, but it has to be sunken. It has to have cup holders on the sides, so there's no spillage into it. I would also think it'd be cool if there were little dice rollers or dice towers built into the sides.
Dice towers are so stupid.
But this is the cool thing about it, is that, like, if it's in the table, it's like an accessory.
No, it's still stupid.
My favorite thing about my car is that there are these two secret compartments that are right next to the clock that you don't know they're there, but if you press on them, then they come out as like this little drawer, like in Tomorrow Never Dies. It's awesome. Like, but it's completely unnecessary, and they're also too small to put anything in.
And you have a dice tower in each of them?
Yes.
How does this tie in?
I'm just saying that that's an unnecessary thing, but it's like the coolest thing in the car. A dice tower on your table is unnecessary, but also very cool.
It's Eric with the unnecessary accessories.
Exactly. And you can get the clear coat as well for your Minnesota winters. That's a Fargo reference. Anyway, so we'd have to have that. Another thing that I really want in my man cave, of course, a big TV is key, but I also want bunk beds.
We've been over this.
Yeah.
You and your weird obsession with bunk beds.
I love bunk beds. I've always loved bunk beds. I had a bunk bed when I was a kid, but I didn't have anybody else sleeping in it. My parents just bunked my beds, and I slept on the top bunk. And there was nobody on the bottom bunk except a bunch of trash. I basically turned into a trash bed. In fact, I thought it was really weird when people would sleep on the bottom bunk.
Eric was a young hoarder.
I really was.
He was with the Young Hoarders Association of America.
I feel like most children are hoarders.
No, yeah, kids don't know how to, like, that's a skill you develop in, like, your 20s, being able to, like, go through your stuff and go, like, I don't really need this, I'm gonna get rid of it.
It took me so long to just realize that, like, nobody's ever gonna make a museum of me, so I could probably...
Well, you kind of made a museum of you.
Yes, but I curated it. Before, it was like an open raid museum. It was like basically like I opened a museum and it just had a bunch of shelves and then I put a bunch of stuff on it and it sat there. This is a curated museum of me. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to realize that like you can throw out 99% of everything you've ever owned and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have a hard time throwing out?
I don't know.
I have a hard time throwing out books, but I've gotten pretty good at like...
Yeah.
Being okay with donating stuff to Goodwill, even though I know it's probably going to end up in the trash anyway.
Yeah, but you feel good about it.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. When Lydia moved into my apartment, We literally went through my entire closet and got rid of like 90% of my clothes. She just like sat on the bed, gave me thumbs up, thumbs down for everything in my closet.
Jeez.
I owned a lot of clothes.
Got Marcus Aurelius over here.
Yeah, exactly. I owned a lot of clothes that I had had since high school. So it was a good, culling of the clothing.
No, I did. That's a great Stephen King novel. Mm-hmm. I do that periodically. Whenever I start bumping up on my maximum threshold in my mm-hmm. closet, I go through and I'm really like, I don't wear this.
So apparently man cave, no clothes.
No clothes in the man cave.
Yeah, I think that's all you need is like a gamer table, a big TV, a comfy couch, and some bunk beds.
Yeah, what I would do for my man cave, though, I would have the nice table, but I would turn it into more of a study. For one thing, I kind of hate the word man cave.
Yeah.
But I'd like to have like some nice shelves with the aforementioned books that I can't throw out, mm-hmm. some like cool maps of the world, and like one of those like old school leather chairs with like the red leather and like the brass tacks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One of those, and then I could just lounge in there and be like, I see that this Ukraine crisis is really starting to spill over borders.
See, I would want. You don't watch Mad Men, do you?
No.
In Mad Men, Don Draper has an apartment with a sunken living room with a built-in sectional couch that wraps around the whole thing. Mm. I feel like that is like the most boss thing you can have is if your couch is built into your home. Like,
that's
you got
to be really committed to that couch, though.
I'm committed, dude. And it's going to be a couch, and then part of it will be a bunk bed.
Speaking of TV shows that only one of us watch, uh-huh. Eric, I was watching Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
Which has become a guilty pleasure of mine.
Got it.
And this last episode, I think it was on Monday, it was super weird.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, there's 10 dudes, and they do like a 5-on-5 basketball game to determine the winning team gets to all go on a date with her that night, mm-hmm. like one-on-one throughout the course of the night.
Yeah, makes
sense.
And
it was super unfair because one of the teams had a guy who was a basketball coach.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, they like totally smoked the other team, right? They're all going on their dates. And then, like, she gets in an argument with one of the guys because the guy's like, I just feel like you're being artificial. And she's like, I'm not being artificial. This is totally real. She, like, kicks him out of the house, right? He leaves in a taxi.
Okay.
Then there's a commercial break, and they come back. And you can tell, like, it's... That like the next segment was filmed like now. Uh-huh. It wasn't like part of the filming they did back then. And they were like, after he left the show, Michael was tragically killed in a skydiving accident. It was so bizarre. They're like, we feel like we don't need to show the rose ceremony because it would be in bad taste.
Jesus.
It was so weird. Oh, and by skydiving, I mean hang gliding.
Okay. Dude, that sounds like it's probably fake.
I don't
think anything on that show is real.
I don't think they would fake a contestant dying in a hang gliding accident.
Hang gliding? What is this, 1988? Nobody hang glides anymore.
Well, he might have been the last one.
It's called Squirrel Shoot or Bust, man.
that's what I would have a picture of him in my man cave.
I would also want to access the man cave via bookshelf door. Secret passageway.
Ooh, that would be cool. No, gaming shelf door.
Yeah. You have to pull out Arkham Horror, and then you have to push the portal that is on the Hysterical Society. It's really elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some kind of Rube Goldberg apparatus would be cool. Maybe a Rube Goldberg dice roller.
Yeah, you can have that.
I've always wanted a train, too. But I'd want it to deliver
something.
Now this is turning into... This is turning into Eric's bottom bunk when he was 12 years old.
What's that show I'm thinking? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that would be my supreme man cave. Would just be a recreation of the set of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with the fish.
Mm.
Traffic light, fish, picture-picture, kitchen. Oh, there's got to be a beer fridge. Just put a gaming table in the middle, and then you like tell the trolley what game you want, and it goes and gets it for you. From a secret tunnel in the neighborhood of make-believe.
I would also want, like, a draft beer system.
I'm
so
with
there's
you. Oh,
that.
I did see a gaming table on Reddit that they had draft... they had taps in each seat. So you
what?
Could just... So you put a keg in the middle. You put a kegerator in the middle. And then each seat had a tap. So you could just keep filling up your beer from your seat from the tap.
That's pretty cool.
That was boss. Right next to the dice roller. All right, we got one more voicemail here. JR sent us a bunch, so we're going to spread these out over time. But this is JR's first I'm back voicemail. Here it is.
What's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. I've been gone for a while, but now I'm back. I'm on vacation this week for Philly Beer Week. And I am going, it took a vacation day, but I'm just going to sit here and record voicemails all week and send them in to you guys. So stockpile them, blow them all out at once. You do whatever you want. I spent this last weekend up with my wife in upstate New York around the Finger Lakes, and I wanted to report out there is an interesting craft beer scene going on up there. So that area is known to have a ton of wineries, and a lot of them seem to have tacked on, quote, breweries to pander to that different demographic. But I think they were really like a lot of generic contract brews, and there wasn't a whole lot of passion or culture there. But there's a lot of up-and-coming legit breweries up there, and that's as a result of some legal entanglements that have been swept out of the way by Governor Cuomo, where they have this Farm Brewing Act, and they've taken out some of like the weird rules about how you can serve beer up there. So there's actually a lot of really solid craft breweries up there. We checked out this place, Climbing Binds. They have a giant hop farm that they've been building up for like 7 years, and now they have a whole tasting room up there and some really nice solid estate beers where everything is grown on premise that you're drinking. And I liked Climbing Binds. Horseheads, another solid beer. They had a chili beer that was intense. It was really nice and pretty different. Since it is a wine region, I had a Riesling ale that they actually had added some grape juice, and you sort of got that Riesling characteristic in it. Never really had a beer like that before. That was pretty interesting, and that was at Warhorse. Two Goats is good, and Starkey's good up there. Checked out a Finger Lakes distillery. I got myself a nice bottle of craft whiskey, some nice bourbon whiskey up there. Very solid trip, I think. Coming from PA, we have a little bit more cultured microbrewery scene. We're about around 200 microbreweries now. New York is bumping it up, though. They've doubled as well, just as PA has doubled from 100 breweries to about 200. They've doubled, and they're almost up to 100 now. And it's interesting to sort of check out where different areas or different regions are and different phases of this craft beer boom. So what observations have you guys made out in your area or anywhere along your travels, finding differences between where the overall quality of beers are at or different styles or influences regionally that are affecting different craft beer areas? I know you guys talk a lot about Bend, but maybe how does that compare to back home, stuff like that. So stay arrogant and get off my Balzac. Remember Balzac? It was that thing in the 90s. Later.
Thing in the 90s?
Wasn't it like a composer?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
This is one thing that I don't know if this is the chili beer phase. Like, does it seem like a recent thing to you, chili beers?
Yeah.
Because like at Strange Brew, like 3 years ago, I had a jalapeno beer. That's the first time I ever had like a spicy beer. And it was at Strange Brew, which means it's strange. And then like a year later, every brewery's got some kind of chili beer.
It's pretty easy to make. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah. I've had some wine beers, too. Some wine beer, but also at Strange Brew. So
I've had beers that are aged in wine barrels that have turned out real nice.
So is Strange Brew really just the next beer thing?
No. I don't think so.
I'm guessing Dorito beer is going to be very popular very soon.
About the banana hammock.
Banana hammock with whipped cream and sprinkles.
Yes, please. I feel bad for that. I committed like a war crime against beer.
I thought it was great, dude. You were selling like hotcakes.
I know. That made me feel even worse.
Next time, you need to like get like a fossil and make a fossil beer and then get a little plastic dinosaur and put it in each thing and you'll sell a ton.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. What about this regional beer thing? Have you had a lot of New York beers? I haven't had a ton of New York beers.
No, they're hard to come by over here.
Goose Island isn't even.
Goose Island is from Chicago, I think.
Was it Genesee? I've had Genesee.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Genesee, the pride of New York beers.
Yeah.
All right, well, JR, keep those coming. Actually, you already did. They are here. But if you want to get in touch with us, please do so. 360-362-0024 or send us an email, personalairguts@gmail.com. Jesse, let's do a little tiny map roll off. So you get to talk first on the podcast this week. We're each going to roll a D20. Whoever wins talks first. Here we go. Oof.
Ugh. 4.
Rolled an 18.
Oh, wow.
Just like the Mariners, I'm going streaking. All right. Well, for my first topic this
week. Hot streak or cold streak?
Hot streak. They won 5 in a row, baby.
Yeah.
Including a 1-game series in New York. Jesse, this week, I want to get a little personal.
Oh.
On personal arrogance. Putting the personal on personal arrogance.
Here we go. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, personal.
Nice. Thank you.
I thought I would do the musical intro.
I like it. So this comes to me. I've been listening to the Harmontown podcast a lot lately. I know I've been talking about it a lot. But they had a topic. I was listening to an old episode today, and they were talking about like how everybody loves to be offended.
Yeah, it's out of control right now.
Everybody fucking loves to be offended.
That language offends me.
And I wanted to talk to you because there are things, there are big problems in the world. There are big problems, okay?
Nuclear waste spilling into the ocean.
Right.
Governments being overthrown in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Sterling.
Yeah. I'm just saying, dude, there are so many big things in the world, and everybody, it's become a thing where you can almost see the endorphins being gushing out of people as they become offended by things. And they're like, I can't wait to write the next Facebook post about this to my friends about how I'm not racist or misogynistic or anything, but this guy sure is. Let's point our finger at that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to preface this by saying I'm not trying to say we should be insensitive. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like we are in such an I'm great and you're not society that that people love to be offended because it feeds into this I'm great, you're not narcissistic society that we have all become. And it's so hard to talk about a society like this because you know, I'm obviously also a perpetrator in that society. I'm a narcissistic millennial. And so it's like me trying to be self-aware and trying to become a better person.
That's God growing up.
Exactly. This is like a huge crux of it because, you know, I think that there are things like institutionalized misogyny and institutionalized racism.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's being offended over little things, but there's also pointing out, like, sexism,
mm-hmm.
specifically, like, in places like the internet where sexism has kind of runs rampant, and calling people out on that, I think, is okay.
Right.
But, like, getting offended for the sake of being offended, and also, like,
yes,
getting offended on other people's behalf is something that kind of irritates me.
Well, and the part about it is that, and, you know, my eyes are becoming more open and open and open. I'm not trying to say I'm an enlightened person. I'm just saying I'm trying to be more self-aware.
Look at the freaking Buddha over here.
I know, right? But what I'm trying to say is that you can point a finger and, like, say that guy's super racist and be super offended by by Macklemore putting on a costume at a show. But then saying, like, everybody who likes Macklemore is basically a fan of Hitler. Like that whole thing. But the fact of the matter is that there's something called institutionalized racism that we are pretty much all guilty of because it's been ingrained in our persons, and it's being able to recognize the internalized part of that and trying to become better because of that. Not just saying I'm not racist, but understanding the things that you are doing and the biases that you are a part of as a society.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to actually acknowledge how you might have, you know, perceptions that aren't totally fair.
Exactly.
Versus just saying, oh, I'm not racist. I have a black friend.
Yeah, exactly. I'm great and you're not. So right. Then the reason why I wanted to bring this up with you specifically, Jesse, is that you made a bold statement a while. I don't know where if I read it on Facebook or if you said it or something in passing, just in hanging out with you. You said, I'm not going to be offended by anything anymore. I'm over being offended by stuff.
Right. No. Yeah. I kind of vaguely remember. I think it might have been like on one of our game nights or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of over being offended. Yeah. I don't like getting offended on other people's behalf. Mm-hmm. One thing. Like, I just feel like I don't need to necessarily involve myself in certain conversations.
Right.
And I don't know. It's too much energy to take things personally. So.
Well, like a good example is I was on Facebook today. I follow Richard Sherman on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And he posted a video of himself and his brother. his brother is like this huge dude. Like he's like easily twice the size of Richard Sherman.
Wow.
Width-wise.
Are they like the same height?
Yeah, they're like the same height, but this guy is like at least twice his weight. And they were basically challenging each other to run into each other. And they run into each other, and Richard Sherman hits the dude, and he, like, falls over, and Richard Sherman, who's, like, half his size, just, like, totally, like, dropped him, and he's his brother.
Right.
In the video, they, you know, Richard Sherman is from Compton, and in the video, in a jovial thing, in his own house, hanging out with his friend, his brother used the N-word when he was taunting him there. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted on there.
I don't see race, so are these guys black? I'm not sure.
I don't think anybody can see race anymore.
Okay. I'm such an enlightened person that I can't even tell.
Right. But anyway, somebody posted on Richard Sherman, hey man, I love you, but you gotta stop having the N-word in your videos. This was like a white kid.
Then it was Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, exactly. Then this other guy comments on his thing and says, you know, you telling him to not use the N-word is more racist than the N-word. And then another person commented on that, guys. It was like this never-ending reciprocal thread, a snake eating its own tail of, like, we need to be offended by this when we're not actually, like, right. Doing anything. We're just offended.
It's an avalanche of hurt feelings.
But not even really hurt feelings. This
yeah.
is the thing about it. Like, people's feelings aren't even hurt. They get a justice boner, and they
right.
are excited to be offended by this thing.
They're
because it makes them feel better about themselves, right? I mean, that's basically
it. Morality and political correctness as though it's some sort of rapier.
Yes.
That they can use to strike down other people on the internet and gain a morale, get more likes.
They can parry and attay their Facebook comments.
Right.
And yeah.
Whoever gets the most likes wins.
Yeah, and I really do think Facebook is a huge problem or a huge contributor toward this.
Right. No, Reddit is the same way too.
Yeah. I mean, like Aaron posted a really nice article today about like the new misogyny.
Right.
Really eye-opening article. Great stuff in there. And like one of the main points that I took away was the whole friend zone talk, which is huge on Reddit. Like the friend zoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you like a girl, if you are attracted to a woman and you become friends with her and she decides that she does not want to have a romantic relationship with you, you have been friend zoned.
You friend zone yourself by becoming friends.
Exactly. Yeah, doesn't
maybe
every
you should have made your intentions clear from the beginning.
Yeah, doesn't every relationship start with a friend zone?
Well, no.
Well,
because sometimes you're like, hey, you want to go out on a date? Sure.
Oh, that's right. True.
We start this relationship by dating. It doesn't necessarily get born out of friendship.
That's true. And then there's also the, do you want to go on a date? No. Okay, I'll never see you again in my life. Bye-bye.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which is fine.
The friend zone thing is, do you want to go on a date? No. Well, can we be friends? Sure. And I'm secretly going to be trying to date you the whole time, which is deceitful.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that's ingrained, like, especially, I would say, in nerd culture. Is
right.
The idea.
There's a lot of tropes about it in nerd culture.
Well, it's an idea that we're fed.
Right.
You know, it's like it's the Steve Urkel, dude. Like,
yeah, it's the Urkel syndrome.
It's the Urkel syndrome. And you know, a line from this article, it says, far from a woman exploiting a man's offer of friendship, The friend zone is usually more of a matter of a man exploiting a woman's desire to be polite and save face to avoid accepting that the rejection is final. It's like, yeah, dude. Like, just because you're nice to a woman doesn't mean that she's legally required to have sex with you or be in a romantic relationship with you.
Yeah, it's an entitlement thing. People feel like they're entitled to relationships because they act nice. Whereas maybe you should be acting nice because it's nice to act nice, and that's what humans should do. Humans should act nice to each other and be friendly to each other, and it's not about manipulating those feelings into sex or relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I'm getting at, is that this is a misogynistic thing that is ingrained in our culture, that is internalized by a lot of people that I would consider my peers or my friends.
Aren't you and I right now taking the moralistic high ground and talking down to people?
It's a fine line, because like, I'm sick of this. I want to talk about it, but is that just perpetuating it?
I guess
a question, right?
I think
having an intellectual conversation about it is better than saying that I am offended by this sexist dude. Having this conversation you and I are having, reveals something to us. It opens up our eyes about something, as opposed to just having a knee-jerk reaction to someone, right?
It's the tone of the conversation that matters.
And it's not blatant misogyny. These aren't things that people are like, oh my god, that's like the most misogynistic thing I've ever heard. These aren't the outliers, right? These aren't the guys burning crosses. This isn't something that's a global thing we can all point at and say that's misogyny. This is something that's internalized in a lot of people that are around us, including us. Like, and being able to recognize that in yourself and get away from phrases or mindsets that may have been ingrained in you for a very long time, since, say, the time you were watching Steve Urkel, getting to that point is actually making a difference in the world. Sitting back and saying, I'm so offended by that, doesn't make that difference at all.
So I should stop saying, did I do that?
Exactly. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a fine line, dude, because now I feel like I'm on some kind of soapbox.
Yeah, no, it's hard to have a discussion, especially a discussion where two people agree, without it kind of collapsing into some sort of moralistic circle jerk.
Yeah.
It's great to have someone play devil's advocate.
Yeah, I also like what Aaron says. He's like, you know what, if you're not like an ethnic minority or a woman, maybe you shouldn't be the one deciding what is racist or misogynistic.
Right, yeah.
You literally have no idea.
That's what I mean about like getting offended on someone else's behalf, too.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the white guy on Facebook who's offended about the use of the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a weird...
It's a weird thing. So, weird move. I'm just saying, like, and this is all part of getting older. I mean, I'll be 29 years old this year, and I'm just wondering if, like, this self-awareness and letting the hype die a little bit, if this is just part of getting older, how can we ingrain this in people who are younger? Because I feel like you'd be much better off if you were younger.
Yeah. It's like a slow march into the future, and these sort of ideas are going to slowly filter down through the generations and things will get better and better. What really needs to stop, though, is in terms of the getting offended thing, people have this, they feel justified getting offended off of things that aren't politically correct, even in environments like comedy clubs and people like calling out comedians,
right?
Like the whole Tracy Morgan thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, maybe it was a tasteless joke, but it was a joke at a comedy club, and it needs to start with there. People need to be able to have a sense of humor.
Well, and understand the context.
Maybe not like Joe at the workplace, but definitely professional comedians need to be able to be fast and loose with the rules of political correctness.
Yeah, and like, they are doing it in a setting that should harbor that freedom.
Right.
Yeah, sitting in a cube, probably not the best time to do that with all your coworkers around, right? But if you're in a comedy club, that you are in a setting that is tailor-made for that to occur.
Right.
And you're also doing everything with the idea that we are trying to distill, especially the comedy club scene. I feel like it's something that's been misrepresented by things like Comedy Central. Like, people are workshopping most of the time. If you go to a comedy club in Seattle, people are workshopping their stuff, trying to figure out what's funny and what's not. They're not Chris Rock in front of 50,000 people in an arena. Like, so they're trying to distill what is funny. That's the intent of what they are doing. They are exploring the boundaries to find what are the funny truths that we can all laugh at, right? Mm-hmm. Without giving them any, if you don't give them any leeway to find that, then you're going to get Bugs Bunny cartoons, dude.
Yeah. And at my workplace, I have a very unique workplace. It's like nothing I've ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my colleagues, we have, it's sort of like an unspoken agreement that there's no boundaries in the jokes we make at work. They can be bad taste, whatevers.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, I think, like, helps. I don't know. Maybe that's one of the things that got me to this epiphany of not being offended anymore, because I'm so constantly in this, this like, take no offense zone. Yeah. That, you know, if someone says, like, a stupid, tasteless jerk, it just, like, washes over me because it's whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe that's bad, but well, I'm kind of okay with it because there's an understanding of the people that we're working with, you know.
Right. And there's also this idea that, you know, it's like you look at, like, I talked about this when I did the Fargo coverage for Bald Move. There's like a big bad character in Fargo, the TV show. But like, the question is, if you kill that character, you catch that character, are you really like making any dent in the evil that is in the world? You know? And it's like, you got to pick your battles here.
Right. Yeah. Picking your battles. And just, if we can get over this being offended for the sake of getting offended fad that is going on, and it's going on the internet, because especially something like Twitter is such an easy way that you can just like sharpshoot someone with your political correctness and not actually engage in a conversation. But then you get to have the moral high ground to get retweeted or Facebook liked or whatever.
Right.
You're like graded on it.
Yeah. You're going to find plenty of people who agree with you no matter what you say. It's, and that literally gives you an endorphin rush.
Yeah. I think that conversation I told you, when I told you like I'm over getting offended, that might have been the same one where I said, if I make a joke, an offensive joke, and it offends you, you're not really, not an offensive joke. If I make an insensitive joke or whatever, a joke at work, and you get offended by it, you're not actually really someone that I want to talk to that much. Like, I don't consider you, you know, because taking the political correct moral high ground is an intellectually lazy thing to do.
It is.
So you're not really someone that I want to have a conversation with anyway, because I don't think you're going to be all that interesting to talk to, because your initial reaction is just, oh, you can't say that, shame on you. Whereas if I do have someone like my coworkers where we can make bad jokes and test each other's boundaries and stuff, that's a much more interesting conversation to me to have.
Yeah.
And no one's feelings are getting hurt.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I think we should move on. I think we've talked about all we really need to on the podcast tonight. But I'd be interested to find out what some of our listeners think. So please light up those feedbacks. PersonalArrogance@gmail.com or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail 360-362-0024. I feel like it's part of becoming a better person, is being able to let some stuff roll off your back a little bit.
You're going to have to.
Pick your battles.
Dude. Especially when you start having kids. Like,
yeah.
You're really going to have to pick and choose.
Well, Ben, plus it's like, you know, glass house first, glass house throw stones type of deal, right? I mean, it's you should be working on bettering yourself before you try to better everybody else.
Oh, definitely. Because you can't ever really better anyone else.
Exactly.
The only way anyone gets better in this world is by them choosing to make themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
So, make that choice.
Make that choice. Jesse, what's your first topic?
I want to talk about movies.
Do you know what nemesis means?
All right, Eric. We've done this before on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I have a movie idea that I want to flesh out with you.
So excited.
I'm going to give you the title.
Okay.
Nerd Rage.
Love it.
Okay, so a group of, let's say, Eastern European terrorists or something, they take everyone at Penny Arcade Expo hostage.
Mm.
They take the entire convention hostage.
Okay.
And they're holding him ransom, and they want, you know, they want something.
Right.
And then a ragtag group of LARPers and gamers and guys in Master Chief costumes are going to have to live up to the heroes that they're dressed up as and right? save the day.
This is basically like the Lego movie, but it packs. It's like sure. you have Batman, but he's not really Batman, but he's sort of Batman.
Mm, right.
I love it, dude.
So, who should we cast for okay. this? Who's okay. going to be our lead? I mean, Michael Cera's kind of low-hanging fruit.
He is, but he hasn't been a lot lately. He's more in the indie crowd, I think. I really like Jonah Hill, man.
Jonah Hill?
I feel like Jonah Hill's got the charisma of Brad Pitt and the looks of Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, Michael Cera, and
Superbad Remix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, McLovin, dude.
And John C. Reilly are all roommates.
John C. Reilly has to be in it.
Yeah.
He's gonna be the dungeon master.
Yeah, he's the dungeon master.
He's like the brains behind the whole operation.
So he's like dressed up as in like medieval stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's got basically just like I feel like he's wearing a hoodie and a cape. He's just a cape dude and a utility kilt.
Okay. Michael Cera's dressed up as
Master Chief.
Okay. Oh, he's Master Chief.
No, I like him as a stormtrooper, so we can make the "Are you a little short for a stormtrooper" joke.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Yeah. And Jonah Hill is
Master Chief.
Master Chief.
Definitely Master Chief.
Okay, so the terrorists take over.
Mm-hmm.
They cut the power. Everything. Oh, they're so like they're enjoying the convention center floor, or whatever. Suddenly, right. all the lights go out, which would be super spooky.
It would be spooky
if the entire exhibition hall.
Yeah.
Which is all lit up and whatever. And then it's like, my name is Hans, and you will be our guests for the next 24 hours.
I love it, dude. This is something that I feel like the like Austrian bad guy hasn't been used since like the early 90s.
Right. No, I'm going real diehard on this one.
Yeah, definitely.
So, so let's see. We got to work in our PAX tropes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Jonah Hill, he's getting too hot all the time.
Definitely.
In his outfit.
Oh, God, Nerdfunk's got to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, Nerdfunk. I feel like there could be, like, stomach trouble. Like, maybe there's, like, a PAX flu going
definitely
around.
Definitely a PAX flu. Dude, that's it, man. It's a bioterror attack. It's a bioterror attack PAX flu.
Yes. We need you to test.
Yeah, we need you to test our pathogens.
We need to test our pathogens, and you will be our subjects.
I just love the idea of the expo hall like going dark, and then every single one of the giant screens from all the exhibitors have Han's face on them.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
All right, so they got to sneak away somewhere.
I like the idea it's like a Tropic Thunder thing where they all think it's like a gamified experience, but it's actually a real terrorist attack.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, because John C. Reilly's like he goes there because he's heard there's some kind of Easter egg big prize to be won, mm-hmm. and he sees
like,
this.
Okay, because he's older. He's obsessed yeah. with this, like, 70s game that he right. played on, like, Apple II.
And they're releasing the remake at PAX. They're going to have a playable demo of the remake at PAX.
Right, and the it's, yeah. like, no one else even knows about that game, and he's, right. like, super psyched on it.
And in the 70s, that game had some kind of Easter egg prize, like, $1 million prize. $100,000 prize. It's the 70s, come on. $100,000 prize that was associated with it, and so he's like, there's got to be a similar prize this year.
And coincidentally, that game was about, like, taking a bunch of hostages for a bioterrorist mm-hmm. thing or whatever.
yeah,
so,
exactly.
like, for the sequel or the remake, he's like, oh, this is it! This is it!
It's called, like, Han's Quest. I like, it's like medieval, this video game is, in the 70s, is a medieval video game, but its main character is named Han. And mm-hmm. then this guy pops up and he goes, I am Han. And he's like, oh, shit. And he like goes
Han's
to the booth.
Quest.
He like goes to the booth to play Han's Quest 2, and it's like all modern remake. And he's like disappointed, and then Han pops up on the screen, and he's like, "Oh yeah. shit!"
All right. So what's their plan? How are they going to defeat these guys?
I feel like we need a few more auxiliary characters.
Okay.
Like I want somebody who's dressed as the God of War guy.
Okay. Okay.
What's his name? Thanos? No, that's Marvel. I can't remember what his name is. Kronos? Krakatoa?
It's something like that. I think it's Kilimanjaro.
Vesuvius?
Mm-hmm. And since we were just talking about, like, sexism, perhaps we should throw in a female character.
That might be good. No, Samus, dude.
Oh, yeah,
she's going to kick ass.
Right.
We could have Samus and then... not Lara Croft. I don't really like Lara Croft.
No, we can do better than that.
We can. But Samus definitely needs to be it.
Oh, we should have Daisy from all the Mario sports games.
There you go. I don't know who that is.
Well, someone out there does.
I like if it was just like also like somebody's wife. But she's like experiencing PAX for the first time, and she's like, this is fucking crazy, guys.
And she's
like the voice of reason. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, I think these are really terrorists.
They're like, no, you don't understand. This is PAX.
They're always doing something like this. This is Han's Quest 2.
Everything's a game.
They've been on their Twitter account. They've been teasing the big the big thing they're gonna be pulling at PAX.
Oh, this is so perfect, dude. So but who's the God of War guy played by?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yes, definitely. Same time, dude. Dwayne the Rock Johnson, for sure. And then our Samus character should be played by... Alison Brie? No, not Alison Brie. What's her name? From Pitch Perfect.
I'm not sure.
Anna Kendrick will be Samus, and Alison Brie will be the wife.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. /girlfriend.
Right.
We're still workshopping it, guys.
All right, so, you know, second act, they're putting their plan together.
Mm-hmm.
They're capturing some of their stooges.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the wife, who also, like, knows how to shoot guns, is like, seriously, guys, this is a real gun.
No, yeah, she's, like, either, like, on the Seattle SWAT team,
right,
or she's, like, an ex-Iraqi veteran, ex-veteran.
Perfect.
She's an Iraqi veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. She's, like, she can actually kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they capture a couple of the stooges.
Mm-hmm.
And then it dawns on all of them, but... for John C. Reilly's character.
Right.
That this is for real.
Yeah.
So now they have the moral dilemma of what do they do. They're like freaking out. Like, this is real. Someone could actually get hurt. John C. Reilly pulls down the visor on his belt.
Uh-huh.
Helmet.
Yes.
And he says, what does he say, Eric?
He says, the Han is on.
The hunt for Han is on. And then he goes and beats him up with a wooden sword.
Well, I feel like, yeah, you gotta incorporate all, like, cosplay swords and stuff in this.
Right, exactly. He's got, like, all the Boffering swords that are covered. He's got, like, his Boffering sword the whole time. He's got, like, his fake foam shield and his foam sword and stuff.
Right.
And then he pulls off the foam from around his sword,
oh,
and
shit.
It's a real sword.
It's a real sword. I love it.
It's a real sword inside.
Yeah. He's like, bought it on Home Shopping Network. $249.99.
It came with 80 knives. 80 pocket knives.
Oh my god. Oh my god. He unzips his hoodie and he opens it up and it's all knives. It's like, came with the sword.
John, that's not. You can't just bring knives to PAX.
You cannot do that. That is literally not acceptable.
It's like the first thing on the rules on the back of our tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. John C. Reilly, dude, is perfect for this.
Yeah, because we got to have that old school.
Okay, but they have to disarm, like, all of the dudes. They have to get them down to, like, hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
So how do they get rid of the guns? Because I imagine all these guys are sporting Uzis. This is, like, an early 90s action movie, right?
Right. Yeah, this takes place at the first PAX.
Yes.
2004.
Super early. Early 04.
The late early 90s.
Yeah, early September 2004.
I don't know. They could do, like, some sort of swap. Like, oh, there's got to be, like, the steampunk guy.
Yeah.
and they get them in a room, and then the lights get cut, and the steampunk guy, like, switches all their guns with, like, steampunk guns.
There's always the Spider-Man, or, like, the Deadpool guy. He should be in on it, too. Spandex yeah. Deadpool Man.
Right, Deadpool Man.
Yeah.
Doesn't say a word, but it's all, like, physical. Played by the guy who did Gollum.
Yeah, exactly. Andy Serkis. It's Deadpool. Oh, God. I want, like, yeah, this is a little too much Community stuff, but I would really like to have Donald Glover be the steampunk guy.
Oh, no, that's perfect, too. Yeah. Yeah. So they swap all the guns out, and yeah. then it's just John C. Reilly and right. Hans.
And then Hans grabs like one of those giant Final Fantasy swords from a cosplayer, and then there's like an epic battle.
Right, a big sword fight.
And it's on, and it's during the Omega Thon final.
They're sword fighting, and they sword fight their way.
Yeah.
And he backs up onto an escalator. They sword fight on the escalator.
And then he goes to the next one. It's like one continuous shot of all the escalators going up to the top floor.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
and
man.
Then when they get to the top of the escalator, all the rest of the team had taken the elevator and they just right. bum rush him and tackle him.
No, I love it that it goes to the Omegathon final round on the stage.
Are they still doing back? They still yeah. do the back.
They're still doing
we
it.
We want you to enjoy the show. Do not stop.
If you stop the packs, it's like speed. If they stop the packs, they will unleash hell.
Why would they want packs to keep going?
Because they can't let anybody know.
Oh, they're doing this. Yeah. Oh, they're doing it top secret.
Because if they know, then they'll bring in the, you know, the feds. They're gonna bring in the 5-0, so they gotta keep the profile at PAX is still happening.
How can you kidnap 30,000 people?
Exact. That's the tagline. Welcome to the tagline. How can you kidnap 30,000 people?
No one knows.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Well, and you gotta have Gabe and Tycho in it.
Oh, totally.
And Robert Koo for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hans pulls off his mask, and it's Tycho.
It's Robert Koo.
I was trying for a coup de grace. Why did you do a coup? Why did you unleash the neurotoxin?
I wanted this to be the packs that everyone remembered. They're pretty memorable. All of them are pretty memorable already. Who's playing Hans?
I don't know. I mean, Seth Rogen. The guy who played Snape.
Or why don't you get Dolph Lundgren, dude? Or not Dolph Lundgren. Who's the guy from the 80s?
No, that's Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, Dolph Lundgren needs to be Hans.
Perfect.
Total throwback. Oh, man. Well, this is great.
Yeah.
God, we should do this more often, dude. Nerd Rage sounds like a winner.
Yep.
There needs to be some kind of D20. We got to flesh out the rest of the details.
Mm-hmm. They can use like the D20s to like trip people up a la.
Oh, I love it.
Like Home Alone.
We got to incorporate paint
the D4s. Stepping on the D4s.
Oh, God.
The boy D4s.
There's like a bunch of D4s, and then there's a bunch of Legos, and then there's a bunch of minis.
Who? Why the pewter minis?
The pewter!
Get to the pewter! The computer?
The pewter!
The pewter!
I love it. Yeah, there's gotta be like a Home Alone planning scene.
But Cully Culkin could have like a whole subplot.
Oh my. Oh, he could totally, dude. I feel like he could fit in at a PAX.
He could be like a PC, one of the guys that brings his own PC.
Mm-hmm.
For the PC.
Yeah, he's in the bring your own computer room, and they like figure out some like techno babble way to network all their machines together to create some kind of supercomputing thwart machine. They get together collectively and hack the system to get the lights killed again so they can swap out all the guns.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, man.
But meanwhile, they also have to play a convincing League of Legends game because
in League of Legends.
One of the hostage takers is looking over their shoulder
This is the, like, yeah, the League of Legends tournament's happening. So there's like all, there's like the, whatever, the thousands of people who are in that room. And then like nothing is happening on the screen. There's one guy who's oblivious, but like everybody's in on it that they're like hacking through right. League of Legends somehow.
Right.
And then he's, and then everybody starts cheering and the guy's like, I don't get it. They didn't do anything. And everybody's excited.
Right. Yeah. No, it's good stuff.
So Nerd Rage. Wonderful. So wonderful. Oh, man. Nerd Rage, dude. So if anybody has anything else we need to add to Nerd Rage, please let us know. PersonalArrogance@gmail.com. Or give us a call, 360-362-0024. Jesse, you ready for some triv?
I am.
Let's triv this shit up. We're going to be doing Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to be rolling a six-sided die to see which category we will do this week. Six-sided die roll, if I can find my mouse, because I'm dying online, is a 4. And that's arts and literature, Jesse. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, whatever.
Let's do it. Okay, this question for you. Please play along at home. What was the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz lacking?
Is this one for me?
Yeah.
Hmm. I know what you're thinking, audience. This is a gimme. But it wasn't a heart. He was lacking courage. Oh, no. A brain.
Ah, damn it. I was going to say, Jesse, I know what you're thinking, because it is the brain. You got it. This question is for me. Please play along at home. What was the bullseye on Achilles? I'm going to go with the heel.
Yeah, I'll say the tendon.
Well, technically, it is his right heel. You going to give that to me, Jesse?
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Which is silly, because like you can like tear your Achilles on your left.
That's true. Though you only have an Achilles tendon on your right heel. Just these questions for you. What Johanna Spyrin story is about little... Oh my god. Let me reread this. Apparently I forgot how to read. What Johanna Spyrin story is about a little alpine lass?
Heidi?
I'm going to go with Hans. The Hans is on. It is Heidi. We're killing arts and literature, dude.
Yeah.
Question for me here. I need it to tie. What John Wyndham novel features Trifids killing humans? Trifids killing humans. What John Wyndham novel features Trifids killing humans? I'm going to go with War of the Worlds.
You might be right. I'll say Starship Troopers.
The Day of the Trifids. What? Oh. That is so ridiculous. That belongs in stupid answers on Jeopardy. All right, Jesse. Well, you didn't win the roll-off, but you won that. I won the roll-off, which means it's time for my second topic this week. I don't really have a category for this one either. It's about toys.
Oh. Toys in the hood. Yeah. Loving toys.
Toys. All right. So this week, Lego released something super awesome.
They've been doing a lot of that lately.
They have been doing a lot of it lately. They released an Ecto-1 Ghostbusters build.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty sweet, dude.
Is that their Cadillac? Or?
Yeah, it was a Cadillac ambulance, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you also get all the figurines. They also released their Guardians of the Galaxy Legos, which include a Rocket Raccoon Lego, which is like the coolest thing ever. But the question I wanted to ask you, Jesse, you are a huge Lego fanatic.
I don't know if I would say that.
You are a certified Lego maniac. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I always thought the Lego maniac was kind of silly because he built his Legos like super fast. It's like you're missing out on the fun. Slow down, Lego maniac, and enjoy it.
Okay, so Jesse, I thought that Lego maniac was something that I made up right now.
No, that was like their mascot.
You're such a Lego maniac that you know that was the mascot in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I guess you are a real Lego maniac, sir.
All right.
So the question I want to ask you, Jesse, we're making the Personal Arrogance Lego set.
Ooh. Ooh.
What is in it? Because first of all, what makes a good Lego set?
Oh my god, that would be the best thing ever to be immortalized as a Lego dude.
Right. I mean, they have the Simpsons Lego set now. They have the Ghostbusters Lego set. I'm pretty sure they have the Back to the Future Lego set. The DeLorean.
Yeah, they do.
I have a... Oh, he's not a Lego. He's an Oyo. but I have an Ichiro Lego dude, which is super cool.
Yeah, I almost bought like a couple of the Seahawks ones.
The Richard
but then they were like $12 each.
Yeah. Well, I got like, mine on sale.
Screw that.
For $5.
Nice.
So, Jesse, first of all, what goes into a good Lego set?
It's all about piece count for me.
Mm.
So, like, they sell a ton of Star Wars Legos because Star Wars is such a cool brand and everything. Mm-hmm. And everyone wants an X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
But you get like 20% of the pieces versus if you bought, like, city Legos or just, like, any of the Knight ones or just kind of, like, the generic Lego brand themes.
Those Lego horses and the Knights are super cool.
Yeah, the horses are cool. The dragons are cool.
Yeah.
So, like, for one thing, you need the minifigures, the dudes.
Right.
So, because those are what you're going to be actually playing with. But what it comes down to is when you bust it all apart, you've built it the way it's supposed to be. You're having fun, playing with legs. When you bust it apart and decide to go, you know, freestyle,
mm-hmm.
that's when having all those extra pieces becomes more fun.
Freestyle Lego Maniac.
Yeah, so the sets that I think are the coolest are, like, the creator ones.
Uh-huh.
Because those are all, like, the basic blocks. They don't have, like, a bunch of super specific weird pieces.
Right.
And they give you instructions to build, like, a bunch of different stuff with the same set of blocks.
Yeah, so that's it'll
be
like, badass.
It could be an elephant or a giraffe or a T-Rex.
So, I guess we gotta start with the minifigs. What is your minifig wearing?
I feel like, well, I'd want the extra tufts.
Okay.
And
those are boots for the layman.
Yeah. I don't know, like, jeans and a H.P. Lovecraft-themed t-shirt.
Okay.
And I'd have, like, a green hat and a beard and then a mustache.
Yeah, but you gotta have, like, the clip-on orange beard.
No.
Right.
No. It would be like the drawn-on scruffy beard.
Oh, so you want the drawn-on. You don't want the clip-on.
No, I want the drawn-on. I don't have that big of a beard.
You have in the past.
I wouldn't say it's like clip-on beard.
Dude, Jordy wedding status, that's clip-on beard, clip-on hair.
Okay, well, I keep it my that's true. But I've grown up.
That's true.
I've stopped taking offense and I've started cutting my hair.
Excellent. I think
what about you?
I think I'm probably, I really like my my softball outfit that I wear. So I guess it's, I won't wear the softball pants. I'll go, my Nike shoes, my jeans, my custom Walquist 13 Mariners jersey on the top, and then my probably Stone Brewing Company cap.
Nice. I was going to say, I don't know if they would be okay with, like, the beer thing, but then I'm like, oh, wait, there's booze all over the Lego universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pirates always have booze. I have this, like, little Hobbit Frodo tiny set, and he's got, like, he has, like, a whole cask and a chalice.
Dude, they're European, dude. They don't give a shit about booze.
They're like, vat is vata.
Vat is vata.
We're really railing on the Europeans this week.
Well, they deserve it. I think they know what they did. World Cup time, baby. So what is our set? So I guess you're going to want to do one of these Lego builder sets so you can make multiple sets out of the same thing.
Yeah. Those are cool, but typically you don't like get the minifigs with them. So I think we should do like more of a traditional set.
Well, I mean, the boring set is two desks and two laptops and some microphones.
It's us podcasting.
Yeah, it's just us podcasting. The person like is podcasting.
I would want, so like the intro set for me, because it'd be a little bit of my stuff and a little bit of your stuff, and then we would each get our own like expanded set.
I think that, dude, we're just building the One-Eyed Will brew house.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
I want like I want a brew platform with like my mash tun and my kettle.
Yeah,
and, like a little Lego hose.
Yeah,
that connects to like a little Lego pump that goes into my fermenter.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
So you get it's a Lego brewery on the back end, and then the front end is the brew pub, the One-Eyed Whale, with a
Eric's serving up frosty mugs.
I'm happy with that, dude. And there's karaoke.
Yeah.
And a pub trivia happening at the same time.
This is Man, this would be way too fun to make.
It would be the coolest. I think we need to get some fucking creator sense, dude. Let's do it.
Oh, man, that'll be like the ultimate level in our Kickstarter. We'll sell you the Personal Arrogance Lego set.
I love it, dude. I love it.
And we'd have to have, like, handwritten instructions.
That's perfect. Yeah, they're written on, like, spiral notebook paper that's been torn out. We are being so creative tonight. We've made a man cave, a movie, and a Lego set.
Yeah, that's kind of the trifecta.
I think so. So let's see if you could top it with your second topo.
If they could be all M's if we went with Mega Bloks.
Mega Bloks. Don't even get me started. Mega joke.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some science.
All right.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
An international team of astronomers, Eric, led by Guillaume Anglada Esquede from Queen Mary University, reports two new planets orbiting a very old and nearby star to the sun named Captain Star, which is spelled K-A-P-T-E-Y-N. Captain. Captain?
That's actually the name of my D&D character.
One of the newly discovered planets, Captain B, also a delicious drink, is potentially habitable as it has the right size and orbit to support liquid water on its surface. What makes this discovery highly interesting is the peculiar story and age of the star. Captain B is likely over twice the age of Earth and the oldest known potentially habitable planet listed in the Habitable Exoplanets Catalog.
Where can I get my hands on this catalog? I feel like this is another late night buy that you get 28 knives with.
You can get it, like, mailed to you.
Oh.
The super-Earth Captain B orbits a star every 48 days and has a mass of at least 5 times that of Earth. So, Eric, do you think that's a deal-breaker?
Mm-hmm.
5 times?
Doesn't that mean it has 5 times the gravity of Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. I weigh 1,000 pounds on that planet.
How would we walk around? We would have to have, like, robot suits a la Alien, you know?
So this is really what, in WALL-E, this is why they had to get those floater chairs. Because every planet they went to, they weighed 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't because they were fat.
I can't imagine. Like, that's the thing. First of all, gravity just freaks me out so much in general.
Yeah?
It's crazy. Gravity is insane, dude. It's like we all live on this giant magnet that's continually sucking us toward it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's magnetism.
I know, but it's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that, like, you drop something and it goes toward the center of the Earth. That's kind of insane.
It gets weird when you really think about it because of, like, the whole, the Higgs boson or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like mass creates drag on the time-space continuum.
Right.
And that's, like, that creates, like, sort of a valley that you fall into because of this crazy drag.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the theory of relativity, too. It's basically like giant things inherently suck other things toward them.
Right, yeah. Mass is attracted to mass.
It's just crazy. Yeah, exactly. We're just stuck. We're just stuck on it. We're all just weirdly stuck on it right now, riding it around at thousands of miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty weird when you, like, zoom out and you're like, that's what's going on?
It's pretty insane. So, just that, but can you imagine going to a planet where there's now 5 times the gravity? Your body would literally, like, not understand what to do with that.
Yeah, but, like, here's the thing, though. It's like, when astronauts come back from, like, orbiting Earth, you know, their bones they are all brittle and stuff because they can't exercise. Like, maybe there would just be, like, a race of super jacked up humans who, like, went over there and was like, oh, yeah, it's basically like we're powerlifting all day long and we got super duper jacked. Well, and if we came to Earth, we would just destroy your face with our super abilities.
Yeah, isn't that what Superman is, basically? Like, Krypton has a much harsher environment, so his body is acclimated toward that.
Right. That doesn't explain why he can fly.
It also doesn't explain why he can shoot lasers out of his eyes or has X-ray vision. Maybe X-ray vision. Maybe he needs X-ray vision to see through the dust clouds. But the lasers, no. The lasers are a no. No, but the flying
lasers.
Yeah, his lasers coming out of his eyes.
Superman is so overpowered. It's so stupid. Who likes Superman? Like, he's there's nothing he can't do.
Well, and plus, well, the thing is, like, the flying thing is supposed to be that the gravity is so much stronger
that
he
can fly forever.
He's basically he can fly up into the atmosphere where he's weightless. Or he can jump forever.
Like he jumps?
Yeah. Or he can jump forever.
Like, don't fuck that up. Don't leave orbit. By accident, Superman.
Oh, he's super strong. But that's the thing. Like,
super
he's...
strength does not help you when you miscalculate your jump into lower Earth orbit.
Yeah, I guess it's all bullshit. Superman is bullshit, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, I think everyone knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So, only a few properties of the planet are known. Minimum masses, orbital periods, and distances to the star. By measuring their atmospheres with future instruments, scientists will try to find out whether some of these planets are truly hospitable worlds.
What? So how long does it take to go around the sun?
It takes like 43 days.
Dude, that planet is going way too fast for me.
It goes... Did you know... Oh, wait. Jupiter, like, flies. Jupiter goes really fast. And it has, like, a 10-hour day or something. It, like, spins super fast, too.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, what's cool about Captain B is it's only 13 light-years away.
Nice.
So, if we do have faster than... or speed of light travel, like, it's a doable trip.
Yeah, I could have gone there twice already in my lifetime. I could have gone there and back and spent 3 years.
We get it. You're old.
I'm an old man, is what I'm trying to say. I'm turning 29. So 29!
I'm excited about Captain B.
I'm excited about it as well.
So,
I mean, we got to get out of this place, guys. We got to get out off this planet, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I kind of want, like, a space station more. I want, like, an orbiting city more than going to another planet.
I feel like it's so hard to build one for everybody, though. Like, a planet is basically a space station that everybody can go to.
Wow. Deep. That's like some Carl Sagan shit.
We are on a spaceship, motherfuckers!
Yeah.
Planet Earth is a spaceship!
Spaceship Earth. But, no, like, you don't have to build a space station for everyone. It's just gotta fit, like, 50,000 people, and it's like a city, and you have a bunch of those, and it's like traveling around.
You've been watching too much Battlestar Galactica.
I have not.
You've been playing too much Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
Maybe.
Oh, man. I love these planets, dude. I want to go.
Me too. That's all I got.
All right. Well, that's the show for this week. We'll get to the Facebook roundup, but before we do, we're going to tell you about the Bald Move Network, guys. So much stuff going on right now on baldmove.com. Of course, there is the Mad Men Happy Hour wrap-up cast for Season 7A. There's also the Fargo cast is up. The 24 cast is up. The Game of Thrones cast is up. We have the affiliates, the lovely ladies from Los Angeles, the Because Show, and Up Yours Downstairs covering everything Edwardian. Right now they are on Mr. Selfridge, starring none other than Mr. Jeremy Piven. Also, there's a great video that Aaron put up of Hodor. Apparently he's got a thing for Hodor.
It's because Aaron is Hodor.
He basically is.
Yeah.
Aaron is Bayron is Hodor. Oh, my God. And Jesse, how could I not have talked about this already?
What?
We have a very special thing coming up for episode 200 of the Personal Arrogance podcast. And you made it this far in the show, which means you get the secret. Because we're going to be broadcasting this on episode 200, which will come up in 3 shows. But this Friday, we will be live streaming a live Dungeons & Dragons session. It'll be about 2 hours long. I'm going to be the DM of it. It's going to feature Jesse as a fighter.
Noel.
Oh, don't give it away.
Oh, sorry.
As a fighter.
No, that's my character's name. I'm basing him off of Noel from Friends.
Frasier. So we got
Frasier's basically Friends and Cheers combined.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So we got Jesse as a fighter. We got Jim will be there. He'll be playing a rogue. We got Aaron. He'll be playing a ranger. And we got Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi Jetty as the group's sorcerer.
No healers, huh?
No healers, baby. It's going to be a fun one-off campaign, and we're going to be live streaming it. Check our Facebook feed and saddle up on Friday night at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern for a Dungeons & Dragons fest. Be there. You can comment. You can have some fun with us. We're going to celebrate 200 that way.
The last time we did a live episode was like episode 10, and it was just like our girlfriends. Actually, I don't think I had a girlfriend at the time. And then, like, Jim Jones and Aaron trying to sabotage it.
Yeah, it was Jim and Aaron, and I think, like, Corey Kershaw. So, hopefully we'll get a few more people this time, guys. So stay tuned. Personal Arrogance, Dungeons & Dragons, 200th episode celebration. And if you can't make it this Friday, just wait until episode 200, because that will be our extravaganza for the show. So let's get to the Facebook roundup. You can find us on Facebook. We are at the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We're also on the Bald Move Facebook page. And I've talked about how to get in touch with us throughout the show, so do that stuff. If you like us on Facebook, we post every week. We say, hey, we're recording. What do you want us to talk about? You tell us. We talk about it. Jay says, talk about the game for PC called DayZ Standalone. It's awesome. Have you played DayZ?
No. I hear good stuff about this. I also hear good stuff about Rust.
Yeah, they're basically open-world games where you can kill other people in their MMOs.
Right, and you're building stuff up, but it's like high risk all the time. You can get all your stuff blown up and you can get killed and robbed and stuff. So it's like a little mini apocalyptic society online.
It sounds crazy stressful to me. I generally don't like
to do a Bald Move Rust server at some point.
We could do that. I like that idea. I just don't like the idea of other people playing games with other people online, because they usually hurt me.
Right. But if you have already some sort of external community.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting.
Set up a server. Tim says, what's the meaning of this thing we call life? Also, where in Australia is Jay from?
First question is to be excellent to each other. And I actually sincerely mean that.
I like it.
Bill and Ted, obviously. I'm from Canberra, specifically Woden.
There you go. Answers, questions answered. Rolo says, best friends, what do you think about solar roadways? I want them for my new driveway. Fuck snow and greenhouse gases.
Yeah, we don't really get snow here, so.
I think solar roadways are more practical for driveways than they are for actual roadways.
They were talking about this on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and they were like, maybe we should focus on getting solar panels on roofs first.
Mm-hmm.
Before we try driving over
them. Or driveways. I mean, driveway could work.
Yeah, that's also what one of the podcasters was saying.
Yeah.
Was like, she sees this as starting its life. If this is going to happen, like starting its life as a rich person's driveway.
Like most things.
Right.
A rich person once paved their driveway with Xboxes. And now we all have them in our homes. James Patterson says, how are you going to help celebrate the 5 millionth Bald Move download? Also, the reason why Chesapeake Bay is so warm is it has more to do with depth than pollution. The bay only averaged 21 feet in depth, with 1/4 of that being less than 6 feet deep. Woohoo, glacier flooded river valley hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
Let me know if you ever, especially because Puget Sound is super deep.
Right.
That's why it's so freaking cold.
Mm.
Now I understand.
Stars above. Mm-hmm.
Let me know if you ever accompany your wife to the great state of Maryland. P.S. I'm glad you enjoyed the Levi bracket. That Levi literally played a leaf. I'm out of ideas, so I tried to do a bracket, parentheses, edged out the NCAA tournament bracket in the finals. Ideas. Guys, if you have a bracket you want us to do, send it to us. personalarrogance@gmail.com.
I got one.
Oh, what is it?
I got two. We need to do the lunch bracket and the dinner bracket.
You're right. We've done breakfast bracket, and we need to finish out the meals.
Yeah. And maybe the beverage bracket.
Beverage bracket would be clutch as well. People like food brackets.
I do.
Rob. Oh, also, 5 millionth download. Let's just say we're going to throw D&D in that as well. Rob says, tell us what you think about the geeks who drink, and if you'd ever like to be a quizmaster like me. I like geeks who drink. That's actually, they're the ones who, throughout the winter, I did pub trivia, and I'm not doing it in the summer because I have other things to do, like this podcast. But I actually almost tried out to be a Geeks Who Drink host, but then I was like, I got way too much shit on my plate.
Yeah, I need another hobby. Like, I need another round of explosive diarrhea.
That's called bookending, people.
Yeah.
It's
something ending.
Oh, yeah, dude. We get the... Oh, God. So much stuff. Leland says, Jim and Aaron reviewed...
I'm excited.
Never mind. Jim and Aaron reviewed Metalocalypse. I couldn't stop laughing. That's also on baldmove.com. Check it out. Levi Reakin says, I've been informed recently that it is a douche move to wear a band shirt to a concert featuring that band. I disagree. Thoughts? Also metal. And he sent us a link toward swordofdoom.com, which apparently is super metal. Nice. I don't think it's douche. I just think you're not supposed to do... It's kind of a taboo.
Yeah, I don't think it's douche.
I don't think it's like
I wouldn't see someone and be like, what a douche.
I just think it's taboo, but it might be so taboo that it's now hipster cool.
Mm.
But only if it's from like 3 tours ago, and it's got all the tour dates on the back.
No, it's from that tour that you're on now. Just bought... I missed the second song because I went and bought the shirt.
I love it. No, I remember going to shows in college and like going and buying the shirt and then like trying to... carry it around the rest of the time because like I couldn't put it on because I was at the concert. College. Anthony says, how are you gonna get the LA Dippers to move to Seattle? It's not gonna happen, but we do have another owner in our ring, Steve Ballmer, former CEO of Microsoft, so that's good news.
It's just all Microsoft guys.
Yeah, I know, this is what I'm saying. If Bill Gates wants to have a team, like he's gonna get a team A instantly. B, it would be like 0.0000024 of his fortune to buy a team.
Right.
Three.
He's like out curing malaria and stuff, though. Let's let him do what he's doing now.
How about he just puts it in the Sonics Community Fund, and then it could be a community-owned team like the Green Bay Packers?
I'm just saying. Let's not distract Bill Gates from
it. I'm just saying,
curing diseases.
In a hypothetical world where Bill Gates buys the Sonics, then you would have a Microsoft owner in all three West Coast states. Because Paul Allen owns the Blazers, and then now you have, Steve Ballmer owning the Clippers.
Paul Allen owns the Seahawks and the Blazers?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, I know Portland, Rip City, go for it, but you own the fucking Blazers. Why don't you just move them to Seattle? Let's do it. And JR says, Mark Summers from Double Dare just told us the STFU at Dunker Dare, which is at Philly Beer Week. Not only was this an intense trivia showdown, but an epic nail biter, yards versus victory in the finals tomorrow night, pies and eggs to the face, and Harvey's Handjobs physical challenge was the slaughterhouse best I don't understand this, dude.
This is some sort of code.
This most gibber. This guy, I think that this is a code responding to the frame.
Right.
Shop.
Yeah. There's another. Evelyn is getting information on who the frame.
Yeah.
Stop of this.
Exactly.
Oh, Harvey Handjobs going down. Worst gangster name ever.
And then finally, Justin Hubert says, fuck, I missed it. No, you didn't, Justin. You made it. You slipped right in there. all right, so that's a Facebook roundup this week. We're going to do some recommendations, call it a cast. Jesse, what's your first reco?
Oh, Witch Hazel pads, my brother. Have you used these?
Mm-mm.
Witch Hazel pads, when your butthole's on fire, basically. Instant relief.
This is getting way too graphic.
This is getting real personal. Does this not happen to you?
Well, I have baby wipes on hand at all times.
You know, still, sometimes baby wipes ain't even enough.
I'm just saying baby wipes for dessert after a while, you know. Like, you use toilet paper for the main course, you use baby wipes for dessert, you're always happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
no,
as graphic as I'm getting.
That's a popular trend these days. But Witch Hazel will, like, heal it up in case of emergency.
Wow.
I wish you could have seen the hand gesture I just made.
I don't need... Okay, this is too much. This is way too much.
Getting offended.
My first... Oh, my God. My first recommendation this week is going to be... I had one. Dungeons & Dragons, guys. If you haven't DM it.
So, it's like 3 weeks in a row.
And also, if you don't know how to DM, just... listen to me, because I don't know how to DM, but I'm going to be DMing this Friday, and it's on a live stream, so everybody can witness it.
Right.
So
but you were trained by the master.
I was trained by the master.
The DMM.
And Jesse, what's your second reco?
Oh, Bachelorette. I actually love this show. I'm hooked. It's so funny to me because there's just so many bros. Especially at the beginning, there's like 20 bros. And there's this funny scene where like she was like rappelling down the side of the hotel that they were all staying in.
Uh-huh.
With one of the dudes, and like all the rest of the dudes are in like the same hotel room as she goes by, and they all like go up to the window and start banging on it.
What?
It's just like pure monkey mentality.
I feel like
it's like we are apes, and this proves it. But like The Bachelorette's great because it's so many bros, and they all like kind of get along.
Well, they're all bros, like, dude.
Cheering each other on all the time. Like, you get to go on the date. Good job, dude. It's crazy.
Wow.
It reminds me, like, so, like, elk travel, you know? A herd of elk is, like, the alpha male and then, like, all the women.
Uh-huh.
And all the other male elks, mm-hmm. like, travel around, and they're called satellite elks. And they, like, travel in their, like, bro pack.
Well, like, lions are the same way.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'll just... Like, exactly when I was in Africa like on safari, when we went and we came upon these three male lions who were hanging out. They were, like, adolescent. They, like, didn't... You could tell they didn't have their whole manes.
Right.
They were, like, the adolescent male lions who were just chilling.
Yeah. No, that's what the Bachelorette is like.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Awesome. So, The Bachelorette. Not the Bachelor, just The Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. I haven't watched The Bachelor.
I feel like you will. So you can let us know how that goes.
All right.
And then my second recommendation this week, it's coming up, and this is another thing that's consuming a lot of my time, and also, Jesse, I know consuming your time as well, H.P. Pupcraft Love Crawl.
Oh, man, this is an early reco.
I know, but it's going to be big, it's going to be bad, it's going to be awesome. If you're going to be in the Seattle area on August 30th, we're planning this thing to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I made the... Because we are selling tickets this year. They're $5 a piece. And I made, like, the Eventbrite for that. And somebody already bought two tickets.
What?
Like, I've not advertised it at all.
That's awesome,
somebody,
man.
Like, Google searched it and then bought two tickets to it already.
Wow.
So,
that's cool.
I'm very excited, dude.
People are excited, yeah.
We're going to make something very special. So, H.P. Pupcraft Love Crawl. If you're going to be in Seattle Labor Day weekend, please... join the fun. It's going to be a blast. All right, Jesse, thanks for the great show, man.
Thank you, Nerd Rage.
Nerd Rage, Nerd Sage is on this program.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Guys, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay arrogant. Boop boop boop.